Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at courage. So who do you think we're going to look at? We're going to look at Ananias. When you think a lot of times about courageous people, you might think of different characters in the Old Testament, of Daniel, of Joseph, of Joshua. All of those were very courageous people. Ananias is someone that displayed a lot of courage, but yet there's not a lot said about him. I want us to start and read the text, and then we'll go back and we'll look at about 5 points that show what his courage brought about. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 10. Now there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not the one who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. So courage. We're going to look at courage. Courage has always been an essential element of God's people. What is courage? Well, courage is a mental or moral strength to venture, to persevere, to withstand danger, to go in the face of fear or difficulty. It's like if you have courage, you aren't going to let anything stop you. You're going to do what you need to do or what God tells us to do. And again, like I mentioned, we have examples in the Old Testament. Before his death, Moses challenged the children of Israel to have courage. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Likewise, as we have been studying Joshua, Joshua repeats over and over and reminds the children of Israel of the words of Moses to be of courage. We should be courageous when we go out and serve God. So we want to look at this somewhat quiet man, Ananias, and see the courage that he had. The first point I would want us to consider is that his courage caused him to be ready. Back in verse 10. Now there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. He was ready. Ananias was ready. He answered when the Lord called, Behold, I am here, Lord. Does this remind you of anybody from the Old Testament? No, with Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. We all know that. Samuel was ready. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said to him, Here am I, send me. We all know that. These were two courageous men. They were ready to do what God wanted them to do. Consider Abraham. Abraham 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So God called Abraham. What did Abraham do? He went. It takes courage to do that. If God was still speaking today and he said, Bruce, how would I answer? If he said, Jim, how would you answer? Code, how would you answer? Here am I, Lord. What is it you want me to do? I am ready. As God's people today, our courage must cause us to be ready to serve God. We don't want to think about it sometime in the future. We want to be ready right now. We've been baptized years ago. We've been Christians for a number of years. We need to be courageous. Why do we have need to have courage? Well, Satan is out there. He's going to try to do everything he can to defeat us, to get us to fall. But we need to take courage in the Lord and be ready. We need to be ready to preach the gospel, just as Paul was ready. In Romans 1:15, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And as I say every time, it's hard to just look at one of those verses. I always like to look at verse 14, 15, and 16. I'm a debtor to preach the gospel. Christ died for me. I owe my whole life to him. I'm a debtor. I'm ready. Because of what Christ did for me, my sins are forgiven. I am ready to preach the gospel. And what's he saying in verse 16? I'm not ashamed to preach it. That should be the attitude of all of us. We should have that courage and that mindset of Paul. And when you go on later over in the book of Romans, it's sad because he says, not all that have heard the gospel have obeyed it. But that's on them. It's on us to go out and to share his word. We need to have courage to do that. We need to have courage to be ready to answer every man. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to give an answer? Somebody comes up and says, hey, I see you doing this. I see you doing that. I see you carrying your Bible. I see you reading it. Why are you doing that? How are we going to answer them? Are we going to answer them in a where we make excuses and, oh, well, I just happen to have it with me? Or are we going to be courageous and say, I'm a child of God. I'm following after God. I want to go to heaven. We need to be ready to give an answer. Again, if we're ready to give an answer, we have to know what the answers are. We have to spend time in God's work. Something else we need to be ready to do is to do good unto all men. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So what does this mean? You ask different people, you're going to get different answers. Is this individually? Is this collectively? Well, I believe it's talking about individually. We are to do good as we have opportunity. Let us do good to all men. We don't take funds from out of the collection and set up some social agency to take care of everybody. But we do that as individuals. Let us do good unto all men. So consider this. Who do we want? Who do we consider all men? Let's just stop and think about that a minute. Who is all men? Is it this person, and this person, but not that person? Is it these that I like, but not this one? And there are matters of judgment that come into play. And like from time to time, we have people that come here and ask for help. people that are not members of the Lord's church, so we would not take it out of the treasury. We can help them individually. Whether you do or not, that's up to you. That's a personal judgment call on that. But I would ask you to consider, when it says we should be ready to do good unto all men, when Christ came to die for all men, who did that include? Did that include just the good people? There were no good people because we all sinned. If we use a certain standard to all men, would we want God or Christ to apply that standard to us? What if Jesus was ready to go and die for the good men instead of all men? We would all be lost because we all sinned. But here we see that Ananias, his courage caused him to be ready. It caused him to be ready. Just like men of the Old Testament, Samuel, Isaiah, Abraham, men of the New Testament, Paul, Peter telling us to be ready. We've got to have courage to do that. Paul saying, be ready to do good unto all men, not just the ones that we feel comfortable with, but to all men. And again, if they are dishonest, that's on them. Again, God tells us what to do. That's God's part. He's the one that commands what's our part to do. Well, the second thing, courage caused him to think about going where he normally would not have gone. Look at verse 11 and 12. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. His courage caused him to think about going somewhere where he normally would not have gone. This Saul, he's a dangerous man. Ananias doesn't know what he's walking into. It took courage to do that. Are we going to be put in a situation like that? Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. But what about some other situations where it takes courage for us to think about going somewhere where we normally would have not? Have you ever wanted to talk to a loved one, but you were afraid to talk to them because of what they might think? We've all been there, and especially if it's someone older than us, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle. But if we have courage, we've got to think about doing that. We've got to have courage to think about doing that. Have you ever wanted to talk to a fellow employee, but you didn't have the courage to talk to them about the gospel? You talked to them about what was on the news yesterday, whatever sports events going on, whatever politics is going on, talk to them about the weather, but we just can't muster up courage to talk to them and tell them the story of Jesus coming and dying for us on the cross. Have you ever been talking to your next door neighbor about everything under the sun, and then you think, I ought to talk to him about the gospel, but I gotta go. I've got something on the stove. I've got this going. I've got to unplug that. I'm sorry. I'll talk with you later. All of those things we can relate to. What do they prove? Proves we're all human. Sometimes we lack courage. We lack courage. We can see from this, again, this quiet man, Ananias, when God told him to go, courage caused him to think about going to a place that he normally would not have gone. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Should we be afraid to talk to somebody? Not at all. Not at all. What if they laugh at us? What if they do? What if they call us names? What if they do? We've got to get over any fear that we've got. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Is that why Jesus came and died on the cross and sent the Holy Spirit, that we would be quiet, timid, afraid people? No, no. He gave us a spirit of power. And how is that power controlled? It's coupled with love. It's not an arrogant, I'm right, you're wrong power, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Word of God tempers our power with love, and we have courage. And what do? We go somewhere where we would not normally think of going. We talk to someone that we would not normally think of talking to, because God has given us courage. God has given us courage. We see that in this example of Ananias. Well, the third point, courage caused him to be realistic. And in verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So is this a valid point? Sure. He was being realistic. Ananias was saying, you know, my life could be in danger here. He's got authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. How did Ananias know that? Well, he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. And as men, as women, but especially as men in a congregation in the Lord's church, we need to know what's going on in the brotherhood. We need to know who is teaching false doctrine, who is trying to disrupt the Lord's church, who is trying to unsettle things. We need to be informed. We need to know who is destroying the cause of Christ, whether they are members or non-members. And again, you know, we mentioned someone Wednesday night that passed away. You ask most of the people in the world, he's one of the nicest men in the world. What was he? He was a false teacher. He was a false teacher. And again, we need to have courage in a loving way, not be timid, but to let people know the truth. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? They may be led by this false teacher, led straight to hell. Ananias wasn't trying to get out of his work. He wasn't trying to forsake it. He was just making sure that he was following the right course. Okay, now I know this Saul, he's got power to bind people, to put them to death. What should I do? Because Saul was the man that was persecuting and killing Christians. So naturally, Ananias feared for his life, and he wanted to be certain about what he was going to do. He went anyway. And you think about other men. Men, courageous men, at times have shown a lack of courage and fled when there is danger. You think of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He fled for his life after killing the prophets of Baal. Even Jesus himself fled on different occasions in John 8 and 59. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus chose another day to deal with this. In Luke 4:28, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst, he went his way. Does this mean that Elijah was a coward? Does this mean that Jesus was a coward? No. But they wanted to do what was best at the time for the situation and what they're thinking through, what their next step would be. Again, We must be aware of our surroundings, what is going on, and the best way to handle a situation. Is that easy to do? No, but it takes courage. And again, courage is doing something in the face of fear. We need to study the situation. We need to make judgments. We need to make righteous judgments. What should we be doing? But we also need to be willing to do whatever is needed, but make sure that we are following the right course. God says do this, we need to do it, period. Well, the fourth point, courage caused him to be receptive to God's word. In verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I must show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was told to go. It caused him to be realistic to what the situation was. He needed to go. When he realized through the word of the Lord that God meant what he said, he was receptive to what God said. Again, how many times do we try to second guess God? We can read in the Bible, God tells us to do this, and we start thinking, Satan is whispering in our ear. Well, he doesn't really mean do that. He doesn't really mean go. He doesn't really mean that. Just do this instead. Satan will come up and plant anything he can in our minds to get us not to do what God said. So why did Ananias do what he said? Because that courage made him receptive to God's word. We don't want to be weaklings. We don't want to be cowards. You know, in the book of Revelation, that's one of the class of people that will burn in hell, the cowardly. And we think about people going out and committing overt acts. You know, that fornicator, he's going to be in eternal punishment. That adulterer, that drunkard, look at what they went out and do. What does a coward do? Coward doesn't have to do anything, and he's going to end up in the same place as these other people that are out committing acts. So his courage, Ananias, his courage caused him to be receptive to God's word. We don't always understand God's word, but we must always be ready to follow it. We must study the word so that when opportunities arise, whatever situation is, we'll be grounded in the word, we'll be settled to the point of making a righteous judgment, and then we won't be talking about it, discussing it. We'll just go and do what God said. Here am I. Think of the courage it took to go to Saul like God commanded. Again, what if God came and spoke to us today and he said, I want you to go and talk to this person that is putting Christians to death? Would we do it? Again, we don't have a lot of information about this man, Ananias, but we see the courage that he had. And the fifth point I would like to consider is that his courage helped cause great results. In verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Think about this. Saul, that became Paul, what did he do? Half the New Testament. He wrote half the New Testament. We see these missionary journeys. He went on 3 missionary journeys. Look at all the churches that he established. Why? How is this possible? Part of it was because of the role that this quiet man, Ananias, played. And he had the courage to go and speak to this person, Saul. So, what does that tell us? We should never be afraid to talk to anybody, because if that person has an honest heart and they obey the gospel, there's no telling how much good that person may do. Paul is a perfect example of it. But consider, what if Ananias was cowardly and he didn't have the courage to tell Paul what he needed to know? What if he only spoke about the existence of God? And Ananias said, "Saul, I want to tell you the story about God. And he's really a great person." And that's all he did. That's all he did, was talk about God. What if he preached unity and diversity? "You know, Saul, you can believe what you want to, and I can believe what I want to, and we'll get along and we can be friends and we'll do fine." What if he said, "You know, we've got the right to disagree"? What if he said, "Saul, you just need to love Jesus," and then Ananias walked away? What if he didn't have the courage to tell him what he needed to hear? What if Ananias told Saul how great the law of Moses was? Wouldn't Saul like to have heard that? Sure. But what did Ananias tell him? He told him what he needed to do to be saved. He had courage to do that. And again, he didn't know who Saul was going to become. He didn't know how many people Saul was going to convert. He didn't know how many churches Saul was going to establish. He didn't know how many letters Saul was going to write that we're still reading today. But he had the courage to go and talk to him. When we convert somebody, we will never know how much good that person is going to bring about. There's no telling what one of our converts might accomplish. So, by studying this man, we can see the kind of courage that pleases God. We need to have patience, we need to have tact, but we also need courage today. In any and every church, if it has elders, elders need to have courage to rule the congregation in love and keep it pure and sound. Preachers need to have the courage to stand on the Word of God, to preach the truth, not let any error come in, to preach and teach. Every member needs to have the courage to do the same, to work together, to share the gospel with each other, to not tell people part of the story, but to tell people the whole story that they need to hear. Ananias, his courage caused him to be ready. It caused him to think about going where he might not have gone. It caused him to be realistic. It caused him to be receptive to God's word. And his courage helped cause great results. You know something else it takes courage to do? And Saul had to do this. It takes courage to repent. It takes courage to repent. At lunchtime, we were talking with somebody, and she said, "You know, people just don't want to change today. They just don't want to change today." And that's true. A lot of people don't want to change. And what is changing? It's repenting. Having a change in our heart, where we want to turn our heart and incline our heart to God. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to confess Jesus as Lord. It takes courage to be buried with Him in baptism and start living a new life. But you know what? That's scary if you're on the other side and you haven't done any of that. It takes courage to do that. I was there too, but you know what? You take that first step, and God is going to give you the courage to keep on going. You messed up your life. You don't have the courage to change. You repent. You start taking that step. God's going to give you the courage to keep on going. You've never been baptized. It takes courage to do that. You take that first step, and God's going to give you the courage to keep on going. And you will see his glory brought about, his will fulfilled in us, and we will all help each other to make it to heaven. Courage. Do we have courage? When God calls us, are we going to say, "Here I am. You tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to go do it." There's anybody here this evening that needs to be responsive, receptive, obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.